Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. We're recording this for Friday, November 30th, 2018. December is breathing down our necks. And with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, hello. Happy Friday.
And to you. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew, and happy Friday.
Yes, it is a happy Friday.
Well, it's a happy Friday for us. It's not necessarily a happy Friday for some people. And most of those people are people who work with Starwood. The Starwood Hotel Group, unfortunately. Charlotte, you wrote a story about this today.
Yes, and Andrew and I had quite an interesting conversation earlier before the show because we're horrified by this. This is, if you haven't seen yet, Marriott, which owns Starwood Hotels, bought it in 2016, I believe, has managed to cyber attack for 4 years. Knowing, and as a result, half a billion customers' data, including credit cards and passport numbers.
Passport numbers is the one that kills me, I think.
They don't know if the credit card numbers have been decrypted at this stage, but I mean, if someone had my passport number, my name and my address, I'm like changing my identity.
That's a whole lot of damage that somebody could do. And for people who maybe don't recognize the name Starwood, Marriott is but one of the Starwood hotels. So this includes things like Marriott owns Starwood, right? So, if you ever sign up for a frequent stay program, or you know, like the membership that a lot of places have, it could be a W hotel or a Sheraton or a Westin, or I think a Loft is one of the other ones. There's quite a variety of them.
Some Regis.
Oh yes, Regis. There's a bunch, and so Four Points by Sheraton, I think, because they own Sheraton as well. So there's a bunch of them that are part of this, and it's kind of it's a big deal because this is a whole lot of people. At this moment, they're saying that they think that it was 500 million Starwood hotel users' information that has been breached. Now, I'm sure a certain percentage of that is people who just forgot a password and signed up for a new account, but we should probably talk about ways, since this is not within our control, there's things that we need to, that you can do to make it so this isn't quite so bad for you if you are one of these affected people.
Before, just to be clear about exactly what's happened, you're right, it affects 500 million customers. 327 million of them, it looks like, have had quite some combination of their email, their password, sorry, their email address, their real address, their passport number, their credit card number stolen. So that's 327 have had that, look like they've had some kind of personal data stolen.
Right.
But 500 million in total.
And this isn't a thing. This is the thing I think for me that's the most frustrating about all these data breach situations, is that there's nothing I could have done about this myself. Like, I've done everything I can do to keep my data safe because I don't wave my credit card around and I don't stand there and declare my home address to the person at the counter. You know, I like write it down or I filled it out online myself ahead of time, not on the Starbucks Wi-Fi. Like, you know, I've taken sort of basic precautions myself, and then something like this happens, and whoever got into this database got into it years ago.
Yeah.
Correct. It's
and stayed there.
Started in 2014. It was only discovered in September 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was hanging out in that network for 4 years with no one realizing.
And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And so this is part of what is frustrating. Again, you know, like, I think we've all gotten that letter in the mail at some point, like, hi, we're about to mail you a new credit card because reasons. And I find them frustrating with my Visa card, primarily because they never tell me what happened. It's just, it's possible your information's been exposed. You'll get a new card in a few days. And so I find it really aggravating because I would like to know if it was the same place every time. Like, maybe I should stop giving them my credit card number. I would like to know who that is. Maybe I only pay that place in cash from now on because of them, I have to keep getting a new credit card number. Now, Charlotte, do you have a lot of that issue in the UK?
So I think, I mean, yes, I mean, we have it as much as everyone. The banks tend to be, as my experience, and not as I've normally had to go, or I've lost my bank card, or I think my data's been breached. You know, you've got to go to the bank. But yeah, I mean, they are good at flagging up erroneous aspect transactions for sure. That's taken very seriously.
Yeah, and that's good. But I do find it frustrating. Does this happen to you often?
No, touching all the words. So far, I'm okay. I'm kind of quite OCD about checking that all the transactions are as they should be anyway.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's becoming, and I think that's obviously becoming easier. It's pretty quick and easy to find an erroneous transaction. I read somewhere, and this may no longer be the case, but it's one of my favourite bits of trivia ever. Easiest way to get your credit card stopped is to buy 2 tanks of petrol and a pair of sneakers.
What?
Your purchases will almost automatically stop your card. Because if you've stolen someone's card, what's the first thing you do? Fill up your car. Fill up your mate's car.
Oh.
And then you treat yourself to a pair of trainers.
Okay. That's funny.
I read this. I think it might have been in the Nate Silver book or what? Oh, no, I think it was in Freakonomics.
Okay.
I think I read it in Freakonomics a while back, and I don't know if it's still true, but that was certainly, it's one, it's always stuck with me. It's just a brilliant kind of,
Yeah. Now, Andrew, I've mentioned a few things that I do in order to keep my information safe. What kind of steps do you take?
You know, I actually have the perfect recommendation for this.
Yeah.
I've written about this service before. It's called Privacy. Mm-hmm. Privacy.com. So basically, I call it the password manager for your bank because you can link your bank account to it, and then you use the service to create an unlimited number of these virtual cards. And yeah, it's really neat. And so I use this for pretty much any online transaction because there are like a couple different cards you can create. So there's one where you can, it's like a burner card.
Uh-huh.
It's a single use card. After you use it once, it automatically closes.
And okay.
You can also lock a card to a specific merchant too. So the first place you use it at, it can only be used by that place. So for example, I have a special Amazon card and a special Apple card and a whole bunch of different ones. So it's really, really helpful.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Now, I will mention one thing that, and I know this is going to sound weird, but stick with me. One of the things that I do to try to keep that information safe is use Apple Pay. And the reason that I do that is because when you use Apple Pay, you're not using your actual credit card number, and nobody can see your actual credit card or its number because it just it doesn't show any information on your phone. And even if somebody's able to get a hold of that transaction, it only works in conjunction with the secure enclave information stored on your phone. That's why you have to authenticate in some way in order to buy all that stuff at Walgreens or whatever. So you have to put your thumb on the button, you have to use Face ID, whatever it is that you have to do, you have to do that. And that's part of why I like it, because it means I never have to take my credit card out. And it's really nice to not have that information out there available for anybody. So your service sounds really cool, though. That's pretty great. I also don't save any credit card information anywhere. I have a password manager, and I let my password manager fill that in. So, like, Amazon doesn't have my information. The only place that does is iTunes, and in iTunes, I make it, I have to enter my password for everything, and it's a reasonably secure password. So, you can't just go buy a bunch of stuff on my iTunes with the credit card that's tied to my iTunes account. So, that's pretty helpful.
Good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a link from you for that service, because that sounds pretty awesome too. So there, I know a few different sort of disposable card kinds of things. I know if you have a Square Cash account, that you can get a card from that, and it's sort of like a prepaid Visa. So you can put money on that. Okay. And then, like, if you just need a new number, you can just get a new number. But you can also use that, like, online, you know, the card number from that service. You can just use that online with them. Nice. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. So I think that's going to do it for that. We always have lots of security tips for all of you. So if there's anything that you want to make sure that we don't miss, we will, I guarantee you, we will talk about data breaches and more security options in the future. And not that I want to, but I feel like we should. And I will give everybody one great security tip, and that is be aware of what's happening to the information that you give to the people that you give it to. When you give that to an organization, what are they doing with it? If you delete your account, does all that information go with it? It's just a good thing to know. As long as you're aware, that's, you know, I have been told from a very early age that knowing is, in fact, half the battle.
Before we move on.
Yes.
I think it's really important that we don't, in general, don't just kind of accept this as the norm, that when you give people data and it gets breached. It's not acceptable for a company to not realize for 4 years and for half a billion records of data to get stolen.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we know this. And I think because it happens fairly regularly, and like you say, we have to keep talking about it, and we're going to have to keep talking about it in the future, it kind of becomes just part of the norm.
Right. And I don't want it to be, and that's
really serious.
That's part of why we talk about it, is because awareness is half of what makes some of this stuff better. So I'm, as frustrating as it is to have this kind of data breach, I'm very interested in what comes out of it, because like we said, they were in there for 4 years. We're talking about 500 million records of information. That's a whole lot. And I feel like there's going to be more to this story one way or another. So,
yeah.
So with that, we are going to go ahead and move on. And, our sponsor today is Jamfnow, and Jamfnow helps you set up and manage Apple devices on demand. So you log into this web dashboard, you can see all your information there, you can see the serial numbers, you can see the version of operating system it's running, and it works with all macOS and iOS devices. It's really easy to set up. You can save settings and then just push those settings out occasionally. So if you need to update Wi-Fi or reset somebody's email settings, you can always just push that setting out right from the web dashboard, which you can even which you can use from wherever you are, and it doesn't have to have any relation to where the other person is who owns the device. It's really easy. It's very helpful, and you can add 3 devices to your account for free forever, and additional devices are $2 a month. If you head over to the Jamf website, that's jamf.com/TDO, you can sign up for your free account today. And I highly recommend it. I think it's really great, and you should definitely check it out. So the other topic we wanted to discuss today is tomorrow, believe it or not. December 1st is World AIDS Day, and Apple has been a pretty high profile partner in the fight to get medication where it needs to go. They've teamed up with Product Red. That's, you know, Red iPods and Red products. And you'll notice the App Store has a lot of Red themed apps and different things. I know Candy Crush has at least a few titles where they go sort of with a Red theme, and then anything that you buy in app in like Candy Crush and whatever the other Candy Crush ones are, all of the proceeds from that, from the in-app purchases, go to the Global Fund. And this year, lots of the Apple stores, the logo is going to go red for the week. And every Apple Pay transaction made with Apple, whether it's at a retail location or online or within one of the apps, Apple will also make a dollar donation to the Global Fund. So that's pretty cool. I like that they continue to raise the profile. I like that they put out the stuff. I think I am probably partial because I like the shade of red. So I've been glad to have a red iPod Touch. This year I'm going to get the Sport Loop for my Apple Watch. I'm going to buy the red one because it's a really nice looking red. The cases are beautiful, I think. So I really like that they continue to do this and that they continue to make this a priority and sort of wield that power for good, because, you know, everybody with an iPhone that gets into the App Store is going to see this new layout and see these new apps and see, you know, here's what people are doing, here's how these things work, and you know, and drawing a lot of attention to this cause.
Yeah. Unlike Black Friday, this is when rampant consumerism is a good thing.
Yes.
So make sure to buy all the Apple stuff, and you'll know that your money will be donated.
Yeah, it's really nice to see, because I know this year, I know Apple has said that they've raised $30 million. And wow. It comes out to be 144 million days and change. There's extra days at the end, but it's 144 million days of medication to prevent HIV positive women from transmitting HIV to their their unborn babies. And wow. It's really, really cool. Product Red is over 500 million, I think is the number that I remember seeing from them. There's also a story that Apple put out earlier today talking about some of the workers and how those workers are helping people on the ground in Africa to help end the AIDS crisis there. And it's really interesting to see, because this basically doesn't have anything to do with technology. And so for Apple to be behind it the way that they are is impressive to me. You don't generally see stuff like this from a company that where it's very outside of their space.
No, it's easy to be cynical and say, oh, it's just a company wanting to make you feel good about spending more money on their expensive tech products. And that's fine, and maybe it is, but you know what? 144 million days and change of medication is all good by me. And do you know what? I think you're right to only see this as a nice positive kind of story.
Yeah. And like I said, like the color of red of the stuff is also really nice. So, so I think that helps. Like the red leather case is really pretty, and, and they have a variety, the silicone case that they have is from the iPhone 7 up. You can get an iPhone 7 battery case that's red. There's, aside from the Sport Loop, there's the Sport Band, you know, the rubber one where you tuck the far end in underneath. And there's the Modern Buckle, which is really cool and would be the one that I would buy if my budget had a line item for a $150 watch band. I would just buy the Modern Buckle and be really happy with it. You can buy Beats also. Like, you can buy some red Beats headphones, and there's a portable, I don't remember what the portable speaker is called, but the speaker is also in a red flavor. The leather cases are nice. And if you are so inclined, you can even just buy a phone, because the 10R comes in a Product Red edition, and it's really nice looking.
I'm looking at an iPhone XS silicone case, and that's got, like you said, Product Red cases as well.
Yes. And the red iPod Touch is also very nifty.
Yeah, that was the original one. They did the special one with U2, didn't they?
Yes. And, they did the U2 iPod. It was the white slab iPod. But the current model of iPod Touch also comes in red. And it's super thin, and it's really nifty. That's something that we use at App Camp when we one of the sets of iPods that we have is the red ones, and I think the red ones are my favorite of all the colors. So $160 million from Apple just by selling stuff that happens to come in red, is pretty impressive, I think. They've been at it now for 11 years, and wow. That's a lot of money. And, you have the opportunity in the next week or so to make it more. So If you haven't finished all your Christmas shopping yet, now is a really good time to do that, especially if you're doing it at an Apple store or online. That was the other thing I liked about them talking about the Apple Pay transactions, is that it can be online or within the app. So, you know, if you want to buy somebody a little something just through the app and use Apple Pay to do it, or just go to the website and use Apple Pay there, then that's instantly another dollar, and you didn't have to do anything extra to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad of that. We will have links to Apple's product red page and their profile of some of the workers in Africa and some of the work that they're doing there. I think, and then, you know, like I said, you can go to the App Store. You can swap out your version of Candy Crush. And then when you buy Extra Lives, that money will all also go to the Global Fund. So, yeah. And nobody's going to judge you for buying extra lives over the weekend while you play the red version of the game. I guarantee it. I certainly won't anyway. So with that, I encourage everybody for a change to go out and shop instead of like it was last week. So with that, we'll go ahead and call it. Charlotte, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Happy Friday. Have
a lovely weekend, Nicole. Yes. Charlotte's off to get her weekend started forthwith because she's calling us from the future. So once we're done with this, if I don't hurry up and wrap up the show, you will hear her open the bottle of wine live on the live while we're recording. Andrew Orr, thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And wine sounds good right now.
You know,
whiskey I'm cracking open, but you're welcome to join me again.
Well, so much the better. We'll go with that. I didn't realize it was going to be that show today, but here we are. This has been the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for November 30th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you on Monday. And until then, be excellent to each other.